At this point in the pandemic, I've had a few uncomfortable encounters around mask wearing, like the time in the grocery store when a guy behind me was pretty much breathing down my neck with his mask tucked under his chin. We've all probably had a few of these run-ins, and fortunately, they usually end pretty cordially. I asked the man in the store to please wear his mask. The man politely obliged. But in the back of my mind, I thought, what if this goes badly? Then the other day, I saw this.
Police are trying to find the person who punched a Sesame Place employee after a dispute over wearing a mask. Earlier in the day, the worker reminded the man and the woman he was with that masks are required in the park.
When I heard that, I thought, this poor kid, he's only doing what his boss told him to do, and his boss is only doing what the government told him he has to do. But if Pennsylvania has mandated mask wearing, why is it left to businesses and individuals to enforce the rules? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Miles Bryan of WHYY's Keystone Crossroads looked at how hard it's been for businesses to enforce mask rules. Later, we'll hear from Michaela Winberg with WHYY's Billy Penn about how SEPTA changed its strategy for how to handle this. Miles, as of right now, Pennsylvania has a mandate that everybody wears masks inside businesses. And just remind us of how we got to that point.
Right. So it's been a bit of a long and twisty road. You know, many studies have shown that mask wearing helps reduce the spread of coronavirus. And in April, Pennsylvania Secretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine, mandated masks to be worn in businesses. So, you know, this is an order. It's not a law that was written by the legislature and signed by the governor, but it has the same, quote, force and effect of law. That's what the governor's spokespeople told me. So technically, violating that order can result in up to 30 days in jail and or a $300 fine. Mm. However, you know, state officials have said that they're not enforcing it against individuals. Instead, state officials said it's up to businesses to enforce the mask mandate in their businesses. I think overall, officials have been, you know, hoping for kind of a voluntary compliance.
Right. So this all kind of shook out back in April. It's now August. I think a lot of us have become sort of like more acclimated to mask wearing and seeing masks around. How have things gone in terms of businesses and this, you know, this particular mandate?
You know, I think if you're just out in Philly, you get the sense that most people at this point, after this many months of living with this pandemic, are wearing a mask. And if they aren't wearing a mask, sometimes it just takes a reminder to do so. But sometimes, you know, there's some percentage of people that have been resistant to that. And when those cases happen, business owners have told me they can be at a bit of a loss for how to handle it. Some folks actually reached out to WHYY about this, which is how I started reporting this story. David Evasu and Michelle Elbin, they own the Upper Marion Dance and Gymnastics Center.
We have dance, gymnastics, parkour, tumbling, and cheerleading.
We have gymnastics teams.
They've been open since the beginning of June. And I talked to them a couple weeks back, and they said, you know, there's been a handful of people, parents and children, who've been resistant to wearing masks for one reason or another.
We're trying not to let this spread, but then you have kids that are just coming in or parents that are letting their kids just not wear masks. And when you ask them, they all get huffy, they all get mad.
Put it on and take it off.
Yeah, they put it on and take it right off.
I actually checked in with them for this podcast, and they told me about a situation that happened very recently that I think really drives home how difficult figuring this out can be for business owners.
Yeah, there was an incident.
What happened? What was that incident?
A couple of weeks ago, a guy walks into the dance studio,
looks around, and starts to pull his child out.
And this guy, you know, Michelle said that the staff didn't recognize him.
My camp director, she gets up and says, "Can I help you? Because their parents are not permitted in the building per the CDC and the state guidelines."
But also, he wasn't wearing a mask. Mm. And so when the camp director, who's a young woman, she's 18, says, you know, "What's up with that?" This guy starts yelling and screaming about how he didn't want to wear a mask, he shouldn't have to, and telling the camp director, "Hey, take your mask off." this guy, you know, he says wearing a mask is upsetting my kids, you know, the kids presumably at the camp. So this guy goes and he gets a young woman who he says is his daughter.
I don't know him. I thought maybe he's like an uncle that's crazy, that's like kidnapping this kid.
The camp staff end up calling the police, but they do also call the girl's mom and verify that it's her father. But once they get this young woman's mom on the phone, the mom is also pissed.
Confirmed it was the father, but started screaming at me that, you know, they're not wearing masks and they have a doctor's note not to wear them.
It is the camp's policy that everyone who's not engaged in dancing, you know, at that time should be wearing a mask. But Pennsylvania's mask order has a medical exception. If you have a reason, you can't be wearing a mask, you don't have to. The parents of this child said the kid had anxiety and asthma and shouldn't have to be wearing one. Hmm. And, you know, Dave and Michelle told me that they've actually had quite a few kids and sort of other folks affiliated with the camp, you know, come to them with medical notes once the mask order was in effect and they reopened. And they sort of said that Dave and Michelle said they were like a little skeptical of that because they knew everyone's physical health because it was a gymnastics camp. So they had, you know, health waivers.
But all of a sudden, the kids were coming in. Oh, I have a breathing condition. And again, these are people that have been with us for several years. They do aerobic exercises. They do all kinds of stuff.
But there's nothing they can really do. And it's been tough for them as business owners because, you know, according to Dave and Michelle, some of these folks have actually left. They've withdrawn their kids and left the camp because of the mask order. And, you know, at times, you know, Dave sort of expressed to me that he felt like he was between a rock and a hard place in terms of, you know, on the one hand, he wants to follow government orders, but more importantly, you know, keep his staff and his kids and customers safe. On the other hand, this is a business like many, many others in Pennsylvania that's really hurting for money. You know, they lost close to $1 million during the shutdown. They're still struggling now. And saying goodbye to a paying customer is hard.
If a person gets mad and ups and leaves, there's $150 or $200 or $300 down the drain this month.
I mean, do they feel that the government should be stepping up and doing a lot of this enforcement themselves?
Yeah. You know, the folks I talked to, which range from Dave and Michelle to a couple of folks who own grocery stores to a couple of, you know, business associations, all basically said we shouldn't be the cops here, that there should be some kind of governmental enforcement or stepped up enforcement. If this is a policy that Governor Wolf's administration wants to be in effect, that they should take over the enforcement part of it.
And is that happening at all? Is the state talking at all about increasing their enforcement?
Yeah, you know, a short while after my first story on this went out, Governor Wolf had a press conference where he noted that this was a rule. He pointed out that it has the same, you know, force and effect of law. But I don't think we've seen anything drastically different on a state level. I mean, really, the governor's administration is saying, you know, please do this. It's the right thing to do. And it's worth pointing out that this isn't the other parts of the United States are doing this a little bit differently, and some are being a bit more aggressive. Mm. You know, I was reading some reporting that Massachusetts has created a COVID enforcement and intervention team. You know, in Denver, you can face a $1,000 fine for breaking the mask rule.
Wow.
Vox had an article that the Denver Department of Health issued a couple dozen citations at bars and restaurants just in the last week of July.
Does anybody have any idea what would actually work in terms of enforcement? I mean, would the state kind of stepping up and enforcing the rules, would that actually work? Would that accomplish the goals that we want? Or is there some other way to do it?
You know, I don't think there's a clear consensus answer to that question. In my reporting, I did talk to a couple of folks who look at this field, you know, in behavioral economics, though, and did get some ideas. I talked to one professor at Swarthmore College. His name is Sion Benoit, and he said that getting those people reluctant to wear masks to follow the mandate, you're probably not going to get them with just the threat of a fine.
For the recalcitrant people, you want them to feel like, you know, I don't want to do this, but I need to do it, right? And so there needs to be something motivating them. Some people surely will be motivated by a credible threat of enforcement.
And he suggested the state maybe create a system for business owners to report people who refuse to wear masks, some kind of procedure that comes with a penalty, and that the state make it known when it does enforce that rule, even if it's occasional. some kind of system that would sort of take the onus off the business owner, make it less of their rule and their problem, and make it more of a government rule and government problem. The professor and I sort of spitballed a bit about, like, what if there was material that the state of Pennsylvania sent out for businesses that was even just a sort of official looking poster that said, wear a mask, or unless you have an exemption, you face these possible punishments, right? Like, I don't know if you've been going into many stores recently, but
yeah.
Most of the signs I see that say wear a mask are just total ad hoc, you know, whatever the business owner could come up with or whatever the chain could come up with.
Right.
But it doesn't look like something coming from the government, right? It looks like something that they're just telling you to do.
A lot of them are handwritten. You know, I think a lot of us have taken a lot of these precautions to be sort of the new cultural norm. Is any of that shift happening on a kind of a society-wide basis, do you think?
You know, I think so. When I talked to Michelle and checked in with her, she told me that story that we talked about the father who was pretty aggressive about not wanting to wear a mask. But she also said that, you know, generally, most parents, most kids are wearing masks and are fine with it, and it's been getting better. And she attributed that to the fact that many of those kids are preparing to go back to school at schools that, if they are open for in-person learning, require masks.
Some of them are going to go to school and have to do this. So they're prepared now, and they're just going to accept it. That's what I feel is happening.
And it's just getting harder and harder to get around it. It's becoming more and more of just the water we're swimming in.
Mm.
And I think that change, that gradual, you know, inculcation of a norm is just going to keep continuing. The issue is the right now and is getting to that end point. And I think that's where that thorny question of where does government enforcement come in? Because we may be sort of trending towards pretty broad acceptance of mask wearing, but in the interim, in the time before we get there, a lot of business owners are frustrated that they're not getting much help from officials in helping kind of enforce this new normal.
Thank you, Miles.
Thank you.
When we come back...
There's the old saying, you catch more bees with honey. So that's just my way of thinking.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. A lot of essential workers need public transit to make it to their jobs. It's SEPTA policy, as well as city and state law, that people wear masks on trains and buses. SEPTA just launched a new program to help make that happen. Right now, SEPTA employees are volunteering as social distancing coaches at stations around the city. WHYY's Billy Penn reporter Michaela Winberg spent an afternoon with a couple of them. Heads up, the next part of this episode contains some explicit language.
So I shadowed two of the volunteers. There was Leon Vaughn.
I'm actually a station manager here for SEPTA.
And Jessica Mangold.
I am SEPTA's statistical reporting project manager.
So both administrators at SEPTA. I was with them on Tuesday afternoon at City Hall Station, sort of around where the Broad Street line is. So they don't actually go onto the platforms. We were at the area near the fare kiosks, which is like overlooking the platforms.
Turn off you guys a mask, fresh mask.
So it's these two people wearing bright yellow vests. They're just holding these boxes of those fresh disposable face masks, and they're offering them to people who are just walking by.
Do you like a mask?
Oh yeah, please, I just dropped mine on the floor. Thank you.
So they're asking, would you like a mask? They're not telling people, wear this mask.
Yeah, that's right. It was really interesting to me, honestly, because that's what you just described is what I thought it was going to be. I mean, they have these coaches, right? I thought they would be walking up to people, to riders who either didn't have masks on or who were standing too close together, and they would tell them to do something differently. They would tell them to just, like, alter their behavior. They're not stopping people from doing anything. They're not stopping people from getting on a train if they don't have masks on. Instead, they're just kind of using this really light touch.
And how did people respond to, you know, kind of that light touch?
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the map. Some people would take a mask, you know, if you're getting offered a free mask, a lot of people took it. Some people were really enthused about it. There was one woman who yelled, had her own mask, but yelled thank you to the people for handing them out from really far away. Some people, even people who didn't have masks on, would refuse the mask. Some people, upon sort of like being reminded, would pull their masks up over their face if they were, you know how people will wear them like hanging down around their chin or on their neck.
So when I see someone with their mask dipped below, I say, would you like a mask? And close off, and they'll be like, no, I'm fine, I have one, and they pull them.
Remind them a little bit.
That's my gentle reminder.
Sophia Hotel, she was waiting for the train while I was there. She takes the Broad Street line to work almost every day.
Basically every day, yep.
She was pretty happy about it. She was relieved.
I see a lot of people who aren't wearing masks on the subway system, and I know it makes everyone a lot safer when people are wearing masks.
So why do you think they were doing things this way? Why not say more directly, just wear a mask?
Well, for one thing, the coaches say that they think it's a little bit more effective handling things this way rather than being confrontational with people. They seem to think that it's a little more effective to be kind to people, to offer people something instead of correct what they're doing.
There's the old saying, you catch more bees with honey. So that's just my way of thinking.
But it's a little deeper than that. So in April, when SEPTA first instituted a mandatory mask policy on trains and buses, there was this controversial incident that happened that I think really spooked the entire transit authority and sort of informed how they handle mask wearing now. So
okay.
At that point, SEPTA had lost 3 employees to coronavirus. So around that time, there was a man who was riding a SEPTA bus, and he had refused to wear a mask. When the bus driver asked him to leave the bus, he refused to get off the bus. He was a Black man, and ultimately, there was this back and forth, and it ended in Philadelphia police forcibly removing him from the bus. There's this video of one of the officers pulling this man out of the bus by the leg.
Get the fuck off my fucking leg!
So it was a hard incident to watch.
I want all y'all fucking badge numbers too.
Our transportation reporter at WHYY, Daryl Murphy, he broke this story, and a lot of people were really upset to see this happen. It caused SEPTA to sort of back off from mandatory mask wearing altogether. So they had this policy in April that you had to wear masks on all public transit, and they walked it back after this interaction happened and said, you don't have to wear masks on transit anymore. It's recommended, but it's not mandatory. And it didn't until June happen that SEPTA reinstituted that policy. So in June, SEPTA came back and said, you know what, masks are mandatory, but we're not going to enforce it like we did in April.
And so is this program sort of a way for them to avoid another situation like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, think about what they're even calling these people. They're calling them coaches.
Right.
It seems like SEPTA's trying to stay as far away from words like policing, words like enforcement. They're just, you know, they're not even trying to touch words like that, try to stay as far away as possible from that concept.
But you mentioned that some people were refusing the masks. Like, describe those interactions. What was that like?
A few people did. There were some people who weren't wearing masks at all. And even when the coaches would offer them masks, they would either say, no, I'm good. Or they would say nothing and just walk by.
I mean, I guess that means there are people who aren't wearing masks who are using SEPTA, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many people that is?
Well, so interestingly, SEPTA has been releasing some data on this. Mask compliance, as SEPTA calls it, is highest on regional rail right now at 96%. So 96% of people who ride regional rail seem to be wearing masks correctly in video surveillance. City buses come in at a pretty close second, 95% compliance, and then far lower is the Market Frankfurt line, which is only 63% compliant with wearing masks correctly.
So knowing all that, that, you know, there are some people who aren't wearing masks and that the social distancing coaches aren't really making them wear the masks, is it safe to ride SEPTA right now?
there's been a lot of fear around this, right? There's been a lot of fear around public transportation as a place where maybe coronavirus could spread really badly. But interestingly, generally speaking, that's turned out not to be the case in cities around the world. So there was a contact tracing effort in Paris, and they officials there found 150 coronavirus clusters from early May to early June, and they found that none of them spread on public transit or originated there. And a similar thing happened in Japan, which is a country known for how crowded the commuter trains can get. So it really says something that contact tracers are not finding coronavirus to spread really rapidly there.
And why do you think that might be?
So there's a big main reason for this, and that's ventilation of subway cars and buses. Good airflow can make a huge difference in really preventing virus transmission. Coincidentally, nothing to do with coronavirus, the way that these subway cars on the Market Frankfurt line and Broad Street line were built in the 80s and 90s, they just were built to have really good airflow. They have these vents on the top of the subway cars that are constantly pushing air in and out of the train, just sort of in tandem with the natural movement of the vehicle. And it's a similar thing on buses. You basically, across the entire transit system, get a full exchange of air every 2 to 3 minutes on pretty much all SEPTA vehicles. And just as a means of comparison, restaurants are required to have a ventilation system that gives you a full exchange of air every hour. So this is really, really frequent. Like, that's really good compared to other indoor spaces.
Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, that being said, it isn't a replacement for wearing masks or socially distancing. The ventilation's not going to do the whole job by itself.
Right. You know, when we talked to Miles earlier about how businesses were dealing with enforcing mask rules, we heard that business owners felt like it was a little unfair of government to sort of put out this mandate, but then not have any kind of enforcement, leaving all of that to the businesses. SEPTA, I mean, at first it sounds like they did have enforcement, and we saw what that looked like, and there was a lot of backlash, you know, with this incident on the bus that you described. So this new sort of like this light touch, as we've been calling it, this non-confrontational approach, could that be a sort of model for just like a way to enforce without enforcing too harshly, just sort of a politer approach?
Sure, I think it could, right? And I think that's the goal. I think SEPTA's really trying to strike a balance here, which is not an easy thing to do, and this is new for all of us. So I actually spoke to Omari Burvine. He's the president of the union that represents SEPTA's police force. He didn't want to be recorded, but he said, in general, he's glad to have these social distance coaches that recommend people wear masks. That's sort of an extra layer of protection for his employees, SEPTA police, from the coronavirus. Burvine sort of wondered to me, is there like any middle ground, right, between police forcibly removing someone from a bus, like what we saw a few months ago, and what we have now, which is a bunch of volunteers who aren't even allowed to tell people to put a mask on? Like, what is the level here that we're trying to reach, and how do we get there? So, I mean, this program is not necessarily going to last forever. This is a pilot program from SEPTA for the month of August. So it's something SEPTA's trying. And, you know, if it doesn't work, maybe they'll try something else.
Well, Michaela, thanks for talking to me about this. And I haven't taken a bus or a regional rail, but I don't know. I kind of feel a little bit easier now with the airflow information.
Good. Yeah. Make sure you wear a mask.
I will.
Thanks, Shai.
Thanks. Michaela Winberg is a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn, and Miles Bryan is a reporter for WHYY's Keystone Crossroads. The Y is produced by Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd Circa, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Stay safe, and we'll see you Thursday.